Fraz Chevalier traveled to Tunisia with his wife and their three children. I got a 4-year-old, a 1-year-old, and a 6-year-old. The travel-loving dad said the family explored rural Tunisia, staying in caves that were dug in Iraq and traveling deeper into the Sahara with local guides.
Okay.
Before setting up camp in a remote stretch of the Sahara Desert. Fraz said the spot had been recommended by locals and was about 45 minutes away from the nearest town. But when they spotted the scorpions, they were forced to pack up camp.
Here I am.
We showed them to the kids and tried to stay relaxed, but we ended up having to whack a couple with our shoes. We counted around 29 scorpions crawling on the tent alone. There were also huge spiders and dung beetles, but the scorpions were venomous, especially dangerous for the kids. We didn't make it through one night in the Sahara staying there that night. But the kids were so excited by the experience. You see, as darkness fell and the family settled down for dinner, Fraz noticed movement in the sand around the tent. He said when we got there, it was just this empty patch of desert with dunes everywhere. No sign of anything. It was peaceful. It was beautiful. Kids were running around the dunes making sand angels. We collected firewood together, started cooking dinner on the fire. There were no major signs of scorpions, spiders, anything at first. I've spent a lot of time in the deserts before. I've come across scorpions, but it's not normal to see that many in one place.
That's creepy.
Now, they think because it had been around 26 or 27 degrees Celsius during the day, the scorpions had hidden from the heat and all come out at night. Even the guide said, this is not even close to being normal. Fraz and the family stayed calm to avoid frightening the children, but quickly realized the situation was becoming quite dangerous. So they decided to abandon the campsite, drove back through the night to another place that they stayed earlier in the trip. In the meantime, taking 4 scorpions with them that they did not realize were actually packed up in their bags and in the tent.
Okay, not going to Tunisia. That's all I needed to hear, man.
Our question, the vacation would have been great, then blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
I don't know that I was going anyhow, but you're right. It's off the list.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really on my list. I would not have objected to going, but after hearing that story, like, yeah, no. Like I say, yeah, we're in the middle of nowhere in Tunisia. Where's the hot spot?
Also, there are sidewinders.
You mean snakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're venomous.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. I assume if you're in the desert, I just assume you're venomous.
And if they named a missile after you, I assume you're venomous?
Yeah. You don't typically name
a Gardner
artillery.
Gardner.
Yeah. They're still like the Gardner missile.
The black snake.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Hello, Harrison. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
What was that?
So how you fellas doing?
We're doing good, man. How are you?
Great, man.
Okay. So what happened on your vacation?
So the chicken cowboy and I were driving from Whidbey Island over to Kentucky, and we got to Missouri. It was about 1 in the morning, and a back right tire on our vehicle sheared off. All the lug studs sheared off our vehicle. We were flying through the middle of the interstate.
How long did that hold you guys up?
For a solid day.
Okay. What was the trailer holding?
We had 100 chickens, 6 guardian geese, 6 sheep, and quite a few ducks.
So did they all make it?
Oh, nothing got hurt.
All right. Okay, well, there's a bonus.
All right, when you have that many animals and you're driving that far, like, what is the feeding schedule like? Like, how do you deal with that?
When you stop to take a leak, you stop and feed the animals, water them. You know, it snowed from Mount Vernon to Kentucky the whole drive for the entire trip. So the water is freezing. It was out of hand.
God, that sucks.
And how long was this trip?
From Oak Harbor, Washington to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Paris, Kentucky. It took us a couple days, but I mean, we drove straight. We didn't stop besides crashing.
I can't believe you made it in just 2 days. That seems like with a trailer full of animals, that would take a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we didn't stop. I mean, we just stopped to urinate, and that was about it.
Okay. All right. By the way, a sidewinder in the desert can travel at 18 miles an hour. They are venomous.
And that is faster than you're going to run in the sand.
Correct.
It's probably faster than you're going to run on regular land. But
exactly.
Damn.
Vacation would have been great, then blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
So I was 15 years old. My family and I went on a vacation down to Puerto Vallarta to one of those, all-inclusive resorts. And my brother-in-law, who's about 10 years older than I am, traveled out the night before, and he hit the bars early in the morning while we were still flying down. And so we arrive, we're checking out the place. He's like, oh, you know, come check out the pools. My brother-in-law and I, we go our own way, and we find one of those, you know, lazy rivers. And in the middle of it, they had a water slide. And so we go up the slide, we're having fun for a little bit. And then we saw these kids go down, and they were going down face first. Oh, sorry. Siren's going by me. So they go down face first. And then my brother-in-law looks at me and goes, let's do it. And we, you know, we start going, and the person up at the top, she looks at us, she says, no, no, no. And we're like, well, those kids did it. And she points to the sign and it says, you know, no going down head first. He's like, oh, it's okay. They did it. And she goes, whatever. So he goes down face first, totally crashes into the bottom of the pool and splits his head open.
Oh.
And so my brother and I are panicking. We get down, there's blood everywhere. And I should add that my brother-in-law was on Coumadin at the time, a blood thinner.
Oh.
So he is bleeding out, you know, a ton, and head wounds bleed a lot. So.
And he's drunk, so the booze makes you bleed more.
So he's drunk, so it's not adding to his case. So, you know, the lady was not happy with us for not following the rules. So our brother goes to try and find the rest of the family. I'm with my brother-in-law, and we're trying to go get some help. And we go up to the front desk, and I go, well, you've got two options. You can go to the hospital, you know, it'll cost whatever, or we've got a doctor on staff. You can see if he can help. So my brother-in-law being cheap, he goes, well, how much is that going to cost? And I'm like, $75. He goes, deal, let's do that. So we go find this little converted hotel room. It's basically, you know, a single room that they put a bed at the back, and they get my brother-in-law on the table, and all of a sudden the doctor looks at me and he goes, well, are you going to help? And I was like, I'm 15. I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, neither do I. And he takes this book open and he starts flipping through the pages to go figure out how to suture this guy up. And so I quickly got over my skis and I was like, I'm not feeling good. And, you know, there's blood everywhere. And I end up passing out. And so we're quite the sight, and I come to, and my family's there at this point, and my brother-in-law is sutured up, so the guy actually did the job.
Damn. But he had to break out of
him. Yeah, the kicker was, as the vacation went on, he was fine. We still had a good time, but every time he had a beer, he'd get like a little dribble of blood that would just kind of come from the sutures up above.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, wow. It was a good one. The vacation turned around after that, but it was certainly an interesting first 12 hours at the resort.
Man. I like that. For $75, you can have a guy that knows exactly as much as you do perform a medical procedure.
Well, so Steve and I were talking. Are you watching any of the World Cup?
I have been, yeah.
Okay. Last night, a guy took a knee to the head.
Oh, yeah.
And he started bleeding pretty bad out of the front of his head.
Mildly, yeah.
I'm 100% positive. They sutured him up on the pitch. I know, I was watching the guy's elbow, and he was doing this, and I'm like, he just got stitched up on, they didn't even take him off the field.
He had to change his shirt, and that
was
it.
He had to change his shirt, right, but if there's blood on your jersey, you got to come out.
Right.
So I don't think it was sutures. I think it was just like, you ever watch boxing? It's like his cut was kind of by his eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
You put that quick clot in there. I mean, it's not good for you.
But
you basically just plug it up with that stuff.
Okay.
And it'll stop it.
Super glues it together.
So they just want you to stop bleeding, right? Like, you
correct.
Will get medical attention after the fact. But like you said, with boxing, this particular soccer game at that point in the game, right? And you're one of the top players. Like, look, man, we're stuffing your face full of this crap. We'll deal with it later.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You're getting your ass back out there. But, you know, credit to that guy. Because they showed him walking off. I'm like, all right, man.
Right, well, that's what happened in the last Diaz fight. Like, he's... You know, when you have those big lumps early in your career, that's why you don't want your cut man to cut you. You know, remember Cut Me, Mick?
Yeah.
That was such a big
deal.
That's
a movie.
But Diaz has been cut so many times, any square hit on those...
Just breaks all
it
the
just
scar
breaks it
tissue
wide
open.
Right, so you could keep pressing it and putting that quick clot in there. I gotta be careful.
Quick clot, yeah.
Right. But like for him, it just won't stop. But for that guy... He's a soccer player. That's probably the first time he's had that injury.
Oh, yeah. And it's toward the end of the game.
I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe they sutured him up on the field, but I was watching it, too. And I just don't know if they had enough time.
Yeah, I don't. Plus, I think he'd have been screaming his face off.
Yeah, it just says he was covered in blood, sat down on the pitch, and they patched him up.
All right.
So whatever that means.
I mean, doing stitches, I had a buddy. He's in Vegas. And my buddy's one of those guys, right? He says something, you'd believe him.
All right.
But he's hammered. They're all hammered. Somebody trips and falls in, like, the giant hotel room, bust his head open. So my buddy kind of drunkenly is like, all right, go to Rite Aid, get, you know, string, get these size needles. He says it so authoritatively. He kind of forgets, if I remember the story correctly. An hour later, these guys show up with all the stuff from Rite Aid, and he's like, oh, no, I can't do that. I've never put stitches in somebody's head.
Wow.